This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com and your host. Joining me to discuss Villa's first home game of the season, Mr. Phil Shaw and Mr. Chris Budd. Welcome.
Hello, mate.
Hello.
How you doing?
All good. The beer snakes of the Aston Social are back. 42,000 back. Pissing it down at Villa Park. Back.
Long throws are back.
Hooray.
Chris Price is back at right back, it seems, as well. The good days have returned. How are you, gentlemen? I saw you actually at the game, didn't I, Mr.
Bud? You did. You've now joined the K4 army.
And then you went off to do some DJing in the hood.
I was down in, I was playing at Lab 11 in Digbeth, which was really good for an event called Our House, which was great. Yeah, really good sort of.
But it was in the news later on.
Unfortunately, yeah, after the event, it came out that the next day that a poor lad had been stabbed in the early hours of the morning outside the venue, which is a shame. Unfortunately, it's becoming a regular occurrence in Birmingham, which is an even bigger shame. But it was great to be back. The gig itself was great. It was a good day, man. Good game and a good gig.
Good. What have you been up to, Mr. Shaw?
Well, I went to the museum today. So after seeing dinosaurs yesterday, or dinosaur tactics yesterday, went and seen some real fossils today. So it's all good.
What are you talking about? Whose tactics are you referring to?
I think everybody's tactics we can refer to is there's a bit of dinosaur in all of us.
What are you referring to specifically?
Oh, I'm referring to
long throws and anything else?
Long throws and our good friend Mr. Bruce's tactics of just lump it up to Alanson Maximin, and hopefully he can show a bit of sparkle. That's what he used to say, isn't it?
That was one of the highlights of the game, actually, was the Holt, the upper Holt singing You'll Be There or Thereabouts.
on a few occasions.
a few occasions to Bruce. I don't know if the penny dropped for him, because he'd have definitely been able to hear it.
I don't know if the Geordies would get the joke on that. That's the kind of thing that they'd probably appreciate.
Yeah, no, exactly. Maybe it's worth explaining it on social media to them. All right, coming up in the show, we will obviously discuss the Villa's 2-0 win to set up the foundations for Fortress Villa Park for the season, as well as going through the latest Villa news and Media Muppets and the 3 points, which all kinds of crazy stuff happening in the 3 points. But first, let's get on with the news. Do you want to talk about New Zealand COVID strategy in doubt amid Delta spread, or the Villa news?
Just give me the Villa news.
Right, a bit of a quiet week, actually, at Villa Park. Caleb Chukwueze has signed from Northampton to join his younger brother, and he's already up and running in the under-23s with their 2-win versus Middlesbrough, 2-for-2 for the under-23s. Why did we sign him, do you think?
I have no idea. Isn't he like 19? And I think he's played senior football for Northampton, so it's kind of either they really rate him or they just want to have a look.
Yeah, because Northampton fans didn't seem that bothered.
Unless they kind of just really want to keep his younger brother happy. A bit like when you know, we bought Brian Little, didn't we? And we brought Alan Evans to keep Brian happy. Maybe it's one of those.
I hope he's good. But yeah, it just goes against that policy of what Purslow said is, you know, if you're at 19 or 20, you should be knocking on the door already. So let's see what happens there. It should be interesting. Meanwhile, the even younger chaps, the under 18s, beat Norwich 10-0, including two hat-tricks. And they were 6-0 up after 40 minutes. Meanwhile, Brad Young and Arjan Reiki both go out on loan to Carlisle and Stockport, respectively. And Mr. Tarek Wright goes to Salford City. Meanwhile, Foo Fighters' gig has been announced at Villa Park. It's a shame that it's not a regular venue on the circuit. I mean, it's been a few years since Bon Jovi, and then a few years before that, Take That, Bruce Springsteen's. But I think it's sold out pretty quickly.
It's quite a small stadium show, relatively, for Foo Fighters, considering they normally sort of do a Wembley or those size of venues. So Villa Park's a relatively intimate stadium show for them.
Well, they're doing Old Trafford as well, the cricket ground.
Yeah.
Right, I think it's time for Media Muppets. So, what's in the Media Muppet trough this week, Mr. Shaw?
Okay, well, it's the Birmingham Mail's turn this week. So, despite putting stories out all summer about Villa being interested in James Ward-Prowse, a bit like Smith Rowe at Arsenal, Villa were just pumping the tyres up for someone else to ride the bike, it seemed. But the Birmingham Mail were putting out articles, you know, for at least a few weeks saying the three players that Villa are going to sign, the three players Villa are tipped to sign and everything else. Ward-Prowse signs a new contract with Southampton, and just a quick change of a headline, the two players that Villa are going to tip to sign all summer. So what is it going to be next week? The one player that Villa are tipped to sign? And then when you go into the article itself, and that's using it loosely, it's just the betting odds from that day. If it isn't even that day, maybe it's from that week. I don't know if they've been updated.
Yeah, I think people were smoking the hopium on Ward-Prowse. I don't think that was ever likely to happen, especially since they've sold two of their other key players.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get two players from the same club. I mean, that was once we got Ings, that was it.
Yeah. Right, into the 3 points. Point number one, there's a bit of a movement now from, I think, FIFA and other sporting bodies to call for an emergency evacuation of female players. The first Afghan women's football team was founded in 2007. And, you know, we're in a situation where under Taliban rule 20 years ago, women weren't even allowed an education and could only actually go outside with a man in tow. One of the under-19 national team players, Zaki Anwari, was one of the unfortunate souls who died after falling from a US military plane during the frenzy to escape the Taliban. I think a lot of the women's team are hiding until evacuation or until they can get them out. It's like I watched something on the Afghan women's robotic team. They've got this, I think there's, I don't know how many girls there are, 10 young girls who are like experts in robotics, and they've been airlifted out to Qatar. And I mean, that's one of the main concerns here is what happens to women henceforth under Taliban rule.
Yeah, it was. I saw a really interesting article actually around that, and generally that a lot of the sort of the Afghan nationals who are being evacuated or fleeing are actually some of the really talented people in the country. And they were saying that essentially if they all leave, you're going to have this real like
brain drain.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it was a really interesting piece. It's something I just, you know, you don't really think about when you actually see all the, you know, the things that are going on the news. But actually all the people that are going are the sort of the movers and the shakers in the country.
Point number two. Meanwhile, in more fiercer climates, there was a Welsh football match called off because a player was wielding an axe on the pitch. Somebody care to explain this to me? How did they get an axe on the pitch?
Phil, you can take this one, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Since you specialise in these kind of things.
Yeah, this is the sort of thing you get at amateur league level. I mean, the game was between Vale Athletic and Sully Sports at Pencataudry, if you forgive my Welsh pronunciation, in Barry. Because of the incident, it is understood the player substituted himself off. So for a start, that's a good thing to do. I mean, ignore the manager, right, sub myself off. Went to his car nearby, returned to the pitch and had a small hand axe to confront someone in the pitch. So it's not so much they'll see in the car park afterwards. We'll just settle this on the pitch now, but hold on, I'll go get my axe. But That's not the only incident this week. In Honduras, there was a referee who was being abused so badly by the fans that he went to a relative of his in the ground who just happened to have a handgun to give him. So he then went back. There's video footage going around of this. He just happened to go back onto the pitch with the gun and says, right, you still going to abuse me now? So, yeah, it's been an eventful week.
Number three, new signing for Manchester City.
This is a big move.
Edible coffee cups. This is a move by Manchester City to basically cut down on environmental waste and their carbon footprint. So they're using coffee cups that are edible. The obvious ploy here is to cut down on waste, is you eat your cup after you finish.
Well, they're trying to reduce the plastic reputation of the club, aren't they?
Oh, nice one. There is that. I don't know what the cup tastes like, but I think it's being produced from some kind of waffly biscuit type, a bit of an ice cream cone, I would imagine, that kind of flavour. They were also, in an attempt to cut down on their plastic reputation, they are also, I think, beer in paper cups is the order of the day since their first home game against Norwich as well. There's a few puns we could say about Manchester City, but we'll step off now.
Oh.
But yeah, no, Villa should be looking at this as something we keep pushing on that fan consultation group.
It's such an easy thing to do as well.
Before we go on, I just want to give a shout out to Free Trade for supporting the show. Free Trade is a commission-free trading app that makes it easy for you to buy shares to grow your personal wealth in the long term. And until the end of August, it's August the 31st, Free Trade are actually upping the value of the minimum share. They give any listener that signs up on the link, which you'll find on either our My Old Man Said social media or on the show notes. If you use that link, you will get a free share between the value of £10 and £200. So until the end of the month, it's £10. Normally it's from £3 to £200, but £10 is a decent share. Remember, as with all investments, your capital is at risk and the value of your portfolio can go down as well as up, and you may get back less than what you invest. Part of the Match Club, we have a little Investo Club there where a hive mind throws up little tips. But anyway, do go to that link and sign up, and you can get your free share, which should appear in within about seven to 10 days, sometimes quicker. Also, I will have the link on the podcast Twitter address as well, which is at My Old Man Said. I'll put it up in the Mad Few Facebook group, which is dedicated to this show as well. Right, let's get into the main show. So, did we call the last podcast Undercooked?
We definitely mentioned it.
Yep.
Post-Watford. Yeah, because I just wondered why everybody was using the word undercooked.
We used it first, just saying.
Because I think the guy in the press conference who used it must have listened to the bloody show. It's a giveaway. We got undercooked in his brain. After the undercooked start at Watford, I mean, as we said, it's a distinct lack of preparation for this season, just from how the cards have fallen in terms of internationals, injuries, late signings.
And Smith had alluded to that, hadn't he, as well?
Yeah. So every week that goes by, you should expect improvements. Obviously, the big thing here was the return of us all to Villa Park. I didn't really get a chance to soak up the atmosphere or anything. I heard those drummers out the front of the Holt, and I think that was it, really, because it started to piss it
down. Yeah, the rain didn't help, did it, really?
Yeah, you kind of wanted a big sunny day, didn't you?
For that kind of carnival-y atmosphere and everyone drinking outside, but everyone just kind of got inside and got in the ground. But it was a good atmosphere when I got into the ground.
Yeah, there was a reasonable amount already in there when I'd rocked up about half two-ish.
Yeah.
But in terms of expectations, it was one of those where there's a level, and if Newcastle are going to play like they have been doing under Bruce when they come to Villa Park, then you've got to get 3 points from these games. And there's a few eyebrows. I thought there was a positive reaction from Smith to the midfield situation, which had been a concern to every Villa fan and their dog. And you could tell straight away with Luiz coming in, Ramsey coming in, that he wanted to do more when we had the ball in the middle of the park, and also inject a bit more life in there.
Yeah, you had guys who wanted to get on the ball. I mean, Luiz was taking the ball off Martinez on the edge of his own penalty area at the time. It was very much everything was going through Luiz, and then or McGinn. They were a lot more proactive in possession. And I think, I mean, obviously that helps, you know, the fact that Newcastle were generally playing, you know, almost a back five when they didn't have the ball. And they'd obviously just leave Callum Wilson upon his own and Saint-Maximin to play off him.
I think the big moment, I don't know if it would have defined the game. I really don't think it probably would have, but it's not an ideal start, was the incident when Wilson got the better of Mings. And what I didn't like about Mings was he didn't play to the whistle. He went after, he was running the other way to the referee when Wilson...
He's done that a few times, hasn't he?
Yeah, he suddenly found himself one-on-one with Martinez, and you'd expect, really, Wilson to score there. And maybe it's because it started to rain and been training in dry weather all week, so according to Bruce. So maybe the rain put him off, I don't know.
They're in Newcastle. They're not exactly expecting summer, are they?
No, you are seeing this a lot in all the games, the referees that are letting a bit go that they wouldn't have been letting go before. I mean, it comes back to basic things, play to the whistle, you know, play until the match stops, but you've seen it. Klopp even mentioned it in his press conference.
That was my first contribution of the season from the upper hole, was play to the fucking whistle.
Yeah. Oh, good. Mine came about 10 seconds later when I just stood up and went, ah!
Yeah, I did that as well.
Because it cost the third goal last week as well. They didn't play to the whistle against Watford, and, you know, a delayed advantage from Mike Dean. It's something that they need to get drilled into them quickly.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, you used to be told when you're like 8 years old. It's one of the fundamentals, surely.
Yeah, and that exact vocabulary as well, play to the fucking whistle. No matter what age you are, that's the way it came out.
But then, I think Mings was one of the prime movers in the game, actually. He had a decent game, I thought.
I thought captain and vice actually both were really central to Villa's performance. It was good. They really led from the front, which is, you know, they're going to have to do. You know, we said, you know, previous pods with the departure of you-know-who, they were going to carry a little bit more responsibility, which they did against Newcastle.
Yeah, and that responsibility needs to be shared around the team. One man who does, is picking up a lot of responsibility. He actually, in terms of touches, I saw the most of the ball in the game was Ashley Young. And he's a different figure from what we had years ago. He does purposely, it's almost like he spreads around his experience, and he's always talking, he's always, you know, giving the opposition, some home truths when they're trying to mug him for a penalty. But
he fucking got right in his face, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was Murphy, wasn't it? Went down.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought you saw it all the time, and he wants responsibility, and, you know, it's good to have him on. Sometimes you have to kind of blink to see him taking free kicks again. It is like 10 Brilliant. Years ago.
Yeah,
and there's a few complaints there. So it's a savvy move, I think.
Yeah, I think he's got like a painting in his attic that's like aging very badly while Ashley Young stays young forever, because he's a completely different player. There's a couple of times in the box, I mean, he just... His experience, I mean, Callum Wilson is an experienced forward, but Ashley Young just had the better of him. There was one header in the first half where Ashley Young just felt a bit of pressure on him. He just knew to go down, and, you know, free kick against Wilson, Young gets up and carries on. It's experience. It was lacking.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This was one of those games that if you go back, I don't know, let's say 10 years or, you know, even 20 years, when we had, let's say, a reasonably top half-ish team, in these kind of matchups, you expect Villa to win at home. It's one of those, even if they don't play well, and I mentioned it in a previous pod, we've got the foundations now of a decent defence, and we've got Danny Ings, who, if Villa get one or two chances, and they only actually had two shots on target in this game. You can win games just by being tight, and you just need Ings giving one chance. And I think this game was an archetype of that. One, you expect to win even if you're not at your best, because you've got that rudimentary equation, and Ashley Young just adds to that.
Yeah, I mean, my sort of view as I was walking into the ground, talking to Dan, who I go with, was that it's kind of a, by no means a must-win game or anything that dramatic, but it's very much a just get the job done today. You know, it's your first home game. A win will just calm the fan base down after the Watford game. And as long as you're improved on Watford, which wouldn't have been bloody hard, let's be honest, you'll get a lot of favour from the fans. And I thought they did that. You know, Smith came out after the game and said, yeah, we were okay. But I don't think anyone in the fan base is thinking, wow, you know, this is the real deal. This is the finished article. It's very much nice one. Like, you got the job done well. You were very clinical. I thought there were some really good individual performances. Generally, it was a good team performance without being spectacular.
Up to that first goal, my feeling was, I think it was about the 40th minute. I did think to myself, are we going to win this? And I thought, it's not one of those that's heading for 0-0. And I didn't think that. And I thought we were showing enough to win this. I thought perhaps Newcastle had probably the best chances, and I'm not talking about many, but they weren't doing enough to deserve to win this game.
No, they didn't have much
by any stretch of the imagination. So I thought, well, you know, as long as we keep on keeping on in the second half, improving the second half, I just thought, yeah, we had enough to snatch this before the Ings moment of magic. But I think Smith was right, you know, at the end where he says, great result, you know, performance, you know, okay. But as I said, every week they have from, you know, henceforth, I think they'll improve. And
I
we're still
so.
Players I missing. So. I mean, Traore and Bailey and Watkins are out, and they're three of our, let's say, they add a lot to our forward line.
Yes. And I think we'll learn, you know, in the coming weeks, months, what actually our best team is, what the shape we actually want to play, how all these combinations are going to work. Because I think we all kind of know what the back four keeper and probably the two defensive midfielders look like, but it's kind of further forward how everything's going to fit, or if it's going to fit, or who's going to miss out. I mean, I don't think many people would have maybe gone into the game expecting Ramsey to start, but actually he started the game and it was really good. He was probably my man of the match. I thought he had a really good game. And sort of grew into it. You know, he had quite a nervy start, as I think Newcastle got on top of him. But actually, once he grew into the game and got his foot on the ball, he wanted the ball more and more. And I think that's what you want from young players. You want them to, you know, be like kind of shouting, give me the ball. I want to make things happen. I want to get involved. And I think maybe a bit of that, like you said, comes from Ashley Young, just being that calming head and actually him being willing to give him the ball in tight areas and, you know, play off him a little bit.
Yeah, because it did look like if anything was going to happen in free play, it was going to originate from Ramsey. And I think later on in the second half, when the upper Holt started to serenade him, that would have done him a world of good, you know, playing
for full Villa Park,
getting that confidence. Because to us, you know, we're not the only ones saying that. It's like, what does he bring when he used to come on? And it's like, if we're one all and he comes on, you're not actually thinking, right, we're going to go for a winner here. And that's never been the natural reflex. But I thought this was probably his best game in a Villa shirt.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You know, first team shirt. He was actually trying to make things happen.
He was proactive.
He was the glue in that midfield. He kept it together. He was the link between Luiz and McGinn. I mean, Ramsey's range of passing is phenomenal. The way that's how quickly he gets the ball out of his feet and can sweep it out to either wing. The only time he sort of struggles with a pass is when it seems to be the obvious one. There was a time when I think it was Buendia or was it Ings was overlapping him on the right, and he should have played him in earlier, and he delayed and it didn't go well. But I mean, when he had less time to think about it, even in a tight space, he can just turn out and get it away to the wing, get it away to the sides, and with both feet.
And actually, you mentioned Buendia. Actually, I thought in a similar way, I thought he was good to see what actually he can do. I think if he's going to play in that position out wide, I think he lacks a bit of pace. So I don't necessarily think that's where he's going to end up playing. But we saw little glimpses of actually what he can do when he can pick a pass. I mean, we saw a couple of little moments in pre-season, didn't we, that everyone was kind of cooing over. But actually, you saw that when he puts his foot on the ball and looks up, he can be that guy who dictates play and kind of runs the game a little bit for you. And I think him playing off another midfielder like McGinn or Louise, or if it is Ramsey, I don't know, I think that'll really help him. He'll kind of grow into his role with, you know, with every game.
Yeah, for me, I thought his best work was off the ball. You saw him closing down and, getting in their defenders'
faces. They all
did actually,
didn't they? They all pressed really well from the front. I thought Ings set the tempo.
And while he wasn't exactly clicking with the ball, Buendia, you know that's going to come. But it was encouraging to see what he does in terms of the press, which he's kind of noted for anyway.
Yeah. And speaking of Ings, should we go on to the goal?
Well, yeah, the main moment, and that's why you go to games, to see spectacular moments like that. I mean, it's a hell of a finish. I mean, the funniest thing for those at the game was, like, you're watching it and you go, oh, amazing by Ings. And then the scoreboard's showing you, Buendia's up on the scoreboard, the eye dent, the celebration.
Yeah.
And it stays up there for about a minute, and you think, I thought that was Ings. I thought Ings was, like, number 20.
Yeah.
Suddenly my own, I'm doubting myself. I'm sure that Ings was 20 and Buendia's 10. Are they swapped shirts or something? And it stayed up there for a good minute after the goal. It was still Buendia. I'm sure Ings would have looked up. Oh, shit, I thought I scored that.
Yeah,
never
did
mind.
I just score?
Never mind.
Was that me? I'm doubting my own identity.
Maybe I'll get one in the second half.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure the new set-piece coach is rubbing his hands with glee after that one, although it's not exactly the most complex set-piece, is it? Let's get a play with a good throw and get it into the front post.
And
it's not
get
exactly
a flick on.
Edge.
Everybody's like lauded him now as some kind of miracle worker, I've noticed. Like, it's a bit lazy.
Well, this isn't a creative corner routine or something.
There was
this
a few moments where the corners were like, there was a corner and a free kick, which I thought, what are we, what are we, as Danny Murphy said, what are you doing paying a guy to do your set pieces? Because you thought, and then that Ings thing happens and you go, you wouldn't say fair play, but you just think, well, Cash did the odd long throw before this guy came to town. So, I don't think it's on him. And Brentford are doing the long throws.
Yeah. I mean, it's well executed. I mean, and the finish is just world class. You can't doubt that. That'll be one of the goals of the month, if not the goal of the month. But it isn't like a really intricate corner routine or a really clever free kick one where you go, wow, that's straight off the training ground. It wasn't that. We have seen long throws being scored from before.
Because, I mean, that's what happens with, like, commentators and pundits. The headline is Villa sign set piece coach, and so that's in the head. So anytime there's a goal from a free kick or a set piece, they go, oh yes, the coach is working his magic there straight off the training pitch. And it's like, well, we have scored free kicks before, so you don't know how much it is him or how much credit he does actually deserve. But that just seemed pretty I mean, basically it's been reinvented. I mean, there's articles in the broadsheets now about Brentford's long throws. Everybody's getting all over this.
Everyone's reinventing the throwing, aren't they?
And you think, hang on a minute. When Pulis's Stoke with Dillap was doing it, everybody used to go, this is the death of football. And like Wimbledon, the crazy gang would do throws as well. It would be the death of football. And now the hipsters have turned it around into something else.
Some of the throwing analytics are going to get really hilarious, aren't they, over the next few weeks?
You just need to look at Ederson, the keeper for City. I mean, a big lump up front. Just, pick a quadrant of the pitch to land it in. It's like, he meant that. It was a through ball. No, he wasn't. He hit it into that quarter of the pitch. He's a good enough keeper to pick a quarter of the pitch. So just do it. But no. Used to be the big hoof up front from Dave Besant. Now it's Ederson, a through ball.
Yeah, people forget it. Manchester City do score a lot of goals from that big hoof.
As to Liverpool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's playing the percentages. And I think that's where, Smith said in his interview, you're looking for those small advantages, and there's not a lot of difference in this game to win a game. And you've got to make every moment count.
And there certainly wasn't in this one. I'm sure we'll go on to the two big VAR decisions that probably take a lot of the headlines, along with the Ings goal. But obviously, we got the penalty that, obviously we mentioned before we recorded, David. When you're in the ground, you're sort of thinking, what's going on here? And then the longer the game has stopped for, you think, well, this has got to be something quite close. And then as soon as he goes over to the monitor, you think, well, he's going to be given a penalty here. Surely if he's been told to go and have a look at this, because everyone else in the ground hasn't got a clue what's going on.
Because this is where, because like in the ground, you had no idea really why is it going to VAR? What's the situation? It was like a Brucey bonus, wasn't it? It suddenly pops up.
Yeah.
Penalty decision, you're like, oh, Ellinger, hang
and none
on
of
a minute.
Because none of the players had gone up either, had they? It wasn't like everyone resoundingly or the crowd went up with handball.
No, well, watching at home, it was the opposite. It was like, why is nobody appealing for that? He's just stuck his hand out and stopped the ball going in. Right. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, no, as soon as I watched it actually on a screen, it's like obvious handball. So the thing in the ground is, why is this VAR decision taking so long? Because it did take a long time. When you actually see it on a screen, that game, as you just said, Phil, it's obvious. It's a fucking handball.
Yeah, that's why we were going, why is it taking so long at home?
Yeah, a VAR decision should be a lot quicker. Just mention El Ghazi first. I mean, he was getting shit-assed by a third-string goalkeeper, which must have been embarrassing for him.
I know he's used to training with the king of the shit-houses, Martinez, isn't he? He's like, who do you think you are, man? I've dealt with the world's best at this. I'm going to slot this, and he did.
I'm glad he's got a role at Villa as our resident penalty taker.
He takes a good penalty, doesn't he?
Although at that time you're thinking, ah, just let fucking Ings take it, for God's sake. Let him go for the 30 goals a season. But fair play.
I'd settle for 20.
Fair play to Ings, letting him go for that. But yeah, moving on to the second VAR decision. On that one, you thought, oh shit, Martinez is off. What's he doing? Crazy mofo. And that one went on for ages as well.
Yeah, because that was a weird one. Obviously, again, in the ground, you think, well, everyone by me, we were just laughing, going, oh, nice one. That's probably the most obvious penalty ever.
Yeah, and you're thinking, what are you doing, Martinez?
Yeah, and you think, well, what could this not be given for? You work your way back. You know, well, he's clearly probably made contact with the guy. It's clearly in the penalty area. It's like, maybe offside? I have no idea what's...
There was no flag, was there?
No?
No.
Yeah. Other than obviously for the penalty decision. So, I mean, if you're the tune, I was sort of saying to the guys around me at that point, it's like, if this gets disallowed being a penalty and I'm in the away end, I'm getting straight on the coach. I'm thinking, this is not our day.
But when you when they draw a thick line, when there was lots of hoo-ha about the offside rule last season, my theory was, well, let's just have the front foot of any player. And, if the forward's front foot is in front of everybody else's, he's offside. And when you draw the line, his foot is the thing that's offside here. It's not his armpit. It's not his arse cheek. It's his foot. So I think that's fair enough. And again, if you're seeing that on the screen, if you draw that line, it's obvious straight away. So I didn't quite understand why.
I mean, it's close, but it's...
Yeah, why that VAR decision took so long again.
I mean, I understand their players and Bruce's frustration that, essentially it's two decisions that have gone against them. Certainly that one where you think, well, it's very close, but, it's just these things, I hate to say it, but they do. They even out over the season and it's going to go for you some weeks. It's going to go against you. And
I never like that expression because I think you should supply the maths and stats for that.
Yeah.
Because it's never 50-50, is it?
I saw some of their fans being interviewed after the game and they said, well, to be honest, and I've said this a lot with Villa, that we didn't deserve any of the breaks of the luck because we weren't very good. And I thought they were all right, Newcastle, but I think Villa handled Wilson pretty well. I thought Mings had a good game. I thought Young and the defensive unit in general dealt with Saint-Maximin because I really like him as a player. I think he's really dangerous.
He creates live chaos.
Yeah, he does. But I think that the sort of the flying the white flag from Newcastle was when Saint-Maximin's picking up the ball on the halfway line, you've done a good job then. So if he can't even get the ball in the final third, well done, back four and defensive midfielders. You've made him go a bit like, when Grealish, we were getting frustrated with Grealish taking the ball off the centre backs. Same thing, like if their creative player is having to pick the ball up on the halfway line. I think we only saw him get into the final third and run at Ashley Young or Mings once or twice. And actually, they shackled him really, really well.
Yeah.
Because I thought their front three on paper, you thought, actually, that's a really potentially quite dangerous front three. Willock ended the season last year for them really well. And he's got a bit of energy, but he sort of didn't look quite up to speed. I think Wilson, we've spoke about on plenty of occasions, we thought he would have been a good signing for Villa. And you kind of saw why, strong, he's powerful, he's got a bit of aggression. But they shackled him really well.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, when you left that game, you think, we got lucky there with those two VAR decisions. But as soon as you got home and you saw the replay, you thought, no luck about that. They're right on decisions. And
actually, we were very clinical.
Comfortable win in the end because even though we only had two shots on target, as I said, as long as you keep it tight, you got Ings there, took our chances and really restricted them. I'm trying to work out if they were better than the last time they turned up at Villa Park or
they
not.
They were probably more adventurous than the last time.
Yeah, because they were terrible last time.
Yeah, well, the last two times they've been 2-0 down before half time, haven't they? And it's been basically game over at half time.
Phil, what was the stat of the game for you? Well, give me the stat of the game.
The stat of the game for me was since Villa's return to the Premier League, El Ghazi has scored more league goals than any other Aston Villa player with 15. Now, I know a lot of them are penalties, but yeah, that's my first reaction as well. Was really.
Wow, I think we need to build that statue before he gets hounded out of the club.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it wasn't for penalties, he was having a better game than Watford, but he couldn't have a worse game. So, but no,
that is true.
Yeah, it's he confidence player, isn't he? He needs things like this to keep his confidence going. So
yeah, I mean, again, I was like, oh, he's not doing. He's better than what you see. His raw talent is better than we've seen in these first two games, and you kind of want him to do well because he's a nice, affable chap. You know, he got us off the mark in the old player final, and he has turned up, and you know,
he scored some big and great goals
as well. So yeah, you just want it all to click for him, and so I'm glad. You know, he's getting these penalties just to keep his confidence up, just so he's got a chance. And, you know, it's, as we're seeing, it's all about the squad. And if he turns up to the party, then that just increases our depth. Because, yeah, you know, we don't mind him in the first 11 against the likes of Newcastle or whatever, because he can do a job.
You just want, you know, we've been saying it since he's arrived at the club, haven't we? You're just looking for some level of consistency from him because he knows he can do it. And that's kind of what Smith has said numerous occasions in the press.
Yeah. At Villa, 4 shots on target this season, 4 goals. Is that correct?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And then Danny Ings, speaking of fours, Danny Ings is the 4th player to score on his first 2 Premier League appearances for Aston Villa after Dalian Atkinson, Dion Dublin and Ross Barkley.
Who?
Could have been a good player, that chap. Where I don't know what he's doing now. When we lost, we lined up somebody and had them helping out with the refurbishment at St Andrews for their 2 broken stands. Well, just because we won this time, let's do a kind of a man of the matchy type thing. What's the prize going to be? What's the reward? Lifetime supply of edible coffee cups.
A can of Monster in an edible cup.
Oh, God.
That sounds grim, doesn't it?
It'll dissolve the cup before you have a chance to drink it. Who was your man of the match?
Ramsey for me.
Phil?
I want to say Louise, but Ramsey's the headline grabber.
Game, to be fair.
But Louise, there's just something about Louise. You're better with Louise in it without pinpointing what he did.
He ran the game. what Louise did very well, you could see compared to a lot of the others, he's been playing competitive games over the summer and he's got that sharpness at the minute. He's got a bit of momentum and he wanted the ball all the time. And that's what you want from that kind of player.
Are you just saying that or did you see it?
Yeah, you could see he wanted the ball all the time. Whenever Martin has had the ball, even if they had a player on him, he's like, just give me the ball, we'll play out from the back. He backs his ability. It's good. He's confident.
Yeah,
he's always there because that's why people highlight his mistakes, because he's always there to make the mistake. Whereas last week against Watford, you saw there were big gaps because people weren't there. They were just missing.
No one was there.
So would you conclude that is the reason why all these people on social media smoking hopium, thinking that Dean Smith and Purslow, when they said they're not getting anybody in, it's just a clever ruse because they are getting somebody in? But I think we've got too many players in the squad. I think Louise is somebody they regard highly. And they're, you know,
like the camera as well.
And there's more of a ceiling to these players because they're still in their early 20s. So I don't think they're going out and splashing, and I'll say it again, big money on a legit centre midfielder for around 30, 40 million. I just don't see it.
Well, how much would you, if Louise didn't play for Villa and he played for some team in a foreign league, how much would you be expected to pay for him? You're going to be talking probably 30 million.
Yeah.
And I think you might see a better Louise now that I'm sure the buyback clause from City sort of hung over his head. He thought, maybe if I do turn it on, they will bring me back, or they will buy me back. So now he's 100% focused on Villa, so maybe he'll improve greatly.
Even just coming home, you know, he's played in a Copa America final. He's got an Olympic, gold medal. He's got these little things to go, yeah, do you know what? I'm a player here. I can. And because, you know, the other big fish in the pond has left, he probably feels like he can, swing his dick round a bit more.
or his medal. I was hoping he was going to wear the medal on the pitch and like swing it and hit Shelby with it, but no.
I was hoping he'd wear it all the way through the game.
What was his tattoo? I made a joke of it on Twitter.
He had a gold medal tattoo, didn't he?
No, he's got a tattoo just above his crotch that says "Stay strong."
Stay strong. Yeah, stay strong.
Stay hard. So if he gets swinging his dick around, hopefully he has.
He'll be getting a good endorsement deal, won't he?
I think we should stop there. We're going down the wrong path here for such a sophisticated podcast. Right, signs of progress already this season, but I think every week that passes, I'm glad we're playing Brentford with another week under our belt than shall we say, if we played them on Saturday or at the start of the season. I think Brentford will be the hardest game we've played so far.
Yeah, because they'll come and have a plan, unlike Newcastle.
It'll be the battle of the long throws. May the best throw win. Right, so before we leave, I just want to give a massive thank you to the My Old Man Said patrons and the latest members to join us. Mr. David Sparks, Justin Bristol, Armen Mazoin, Gazareth, good name that, Gazareth, and Ken Kawamura, and Dean Smith. Thank you very much for signing up when you become a My Old Man Said patron, as well as supporting the show and keeping it going. You also get access to Match Club, our little private club, which is open 24/7, but gets together on away games and cup games. Home games, we're sometimes preoccupied because we're actually at Villa Park.
And there's no bloody signal.
And yeah, I got a little pay-as-you-go EE to slip into my second SIM slot and expecting a revolution of mobile data, but it's halftime, no show, nothing happening. So a big myth there. But also you get access to the My Old Man Said Patreon channel, and the new shows will be, for the season, will finally be popping out this week. So look out for them. Go to myoldmansaid.com and check out the Patreon link and sign up there. Also, you can sign up for the year as an annual patron, and you receive 15% off, which is 2 free months. Also, make sure you subscribe or follow on whatever app you're listening to the show on, so you get notifications when they pop up. The next show, we are doing something for the weekend, which is a preview for the weekend after Dean Smith's press conference. So look out for that one. Should pop up on Friday. All right, any final words as we disappear?
Bring on Barrow.
Yes, Barrow. We'll do a match club for Barrow. So join us in there, My Old Man Said patrons. Right. Thank you very much for listening to the show. Good to be back at Villa Park and looking forward to going twice in a week. Bring on the Brentford. Until then, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.